Nick Natanui has written a book. It is a kid's book. It is called Little Nick's Big Day, illustrated by Fatima Anaya. We'll find out about her. Nick Natanui, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Can I ask you, I've marked a page.
Yeah.
Because I reckon that'll give people some idea of what the book's about. Why don't you pretend you're reading to all the kids. Read us both pages.
Little Nick, come look and see. I'm different to you and you're different to me. Our skin is brown and our hair is curly, but you sleep in late and I get up early. I love to cook, you love to eat, but only you have smelly feet.
He's a poet. He's a poet and a comedian. What was it like writing it?
It was challenging. I guess in my head you think children's book, you just think someone chucks a bunch of pictures and words together, but it's a long process. Yeah. It's you know, it's got to appeal to the children, but also the parent reading it as well. So
I would argue as a parent, parents more important. why did you do it?
I just felt there was a niche for it and there was a reason to do it. Obviously, you know, my background's different to, you know, a lot of different people, and especially playing football, I'm a multicultural ambassador, and spreading the word of diversity is massive in my role. So, yeah, I just thought if I could find a way to put it out there and protect it to school children at the grassroots level, I thought, why not?
I think you're right about how hard it is to write a kid's book. I'm just curious, like, it's all got a rhyme. And then at some stage you've got to meet up with this animator, Fatima, and make the word sync.
Yeah.
Did you get help? Like, what did you do? Did you Google how to write a kid's book? What did you do?
Like, obviously the publishers at Allen & Unwin, you know, sat me down, and my management as well. They, you know, read numerous amounts of books.
Oh, so you read lots of kids'
read
books?
Read lots of kids' books. I tried to as many as I can, and my manager, Mel, she helped out a fair bit, and she read a lot of books.
Do you have kids?
No, I haven't. There's a lot of kids in my family. I haven't got any kids myself, but I, and then I tested it on my little nieces and nephews to see if they enjoyed it.
Very
and they
good
liked
road
it.
Test for family, important.
Yeah, yep. they ripped up a few books.
Did you have a favourite growing up? Like, favourite?
There was always, you know, I read a lot of different books. You know,
authors. But I know, do you remember something like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang or Cat in the Hat?
Yeah, Cat in the Hat was obviously a big one for me. Some of the rhyming stuff, I couldn't really emulate it too much in my book. But yeah, things like that just probably gave me some inspiration. And then, yeah, some of the bigger authors, especially in WA where I live, guys like Tim Winton and stuff, who, you know, I read a lot of their stuff through school. So,
Did you read Tim Winton at school?
Yeah, I read at school.
Of course you would in WA.
WA. So he was a big. You know, a big influence as well. So, I kind of drew on some of the experience I got from school, but also from some of their books, how they went about it as well.
I will say there's none of the adult content from Tim Winton's books in Nick Natanui's book.
Not this time.
No, not this one. It's little Nick's big day. There's a lot of diversity in the book. There's a lot of people who aren't white. Couple of pictures of women in headscarves. Do we need that? Why is that important? Why is that important to you?
Yeah, I just think the current landscape in a schoolyard now is very diverse. You know, Australia's a very multicultural country, and acceptance is a big thing. And for myself at school, I found it challenging. You know, I was the odd kid out. I was a tall, dark, skinny kid who didn't really fit in with
So you were big at school?
I was tall and skinny. I wouldn't say big. I was, I was tall and skinny and uncoordinated. I was a bit like a baby giraffe, I think.
Uncoordinated?
Yeah, I know.
Really?
Hard to fathom, but I
did
was.
And so you got teased because of your colour?
Yeah, I did. Definitely did. You know, I had weird hair and, you know, my lunchbox didn't comprise of a Vegemite sandwich and, you know.
What did mum send you to school with your lunch?
Oh, leftover, you know, whatever Fijian food, some seafood or whatever it was. Right. But which was the norm for me. And I think now kids are a lot better now. Kids don't see kids for colour and, you know, what they look like or where they're from.
What did you do? So it's always an interesting thing what to do with a bully. What did you do as a kid?
For me it was tough. It was challenging at times. I had a twin brother, so we kind of could stick up for each other and help each other out.
But did you talk back? Did you push
back? Yeah, I did. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. Bullying was a hard one for me. There's always going to be a bully no matter, you know, what landscape you're in. And for me, I discovered this funny-shaped ball. They call it AFL footy, and I excelled in that. And then once I became pretty good at that, the bullies wanted to be your friend. So,
yeah, of course.
But for not majority, that isn't the case. You know, I was probably fortunate enough that this, you know, little leather thing or little rubber thing I was made of at the time was my saviour, I guess.
the very last line in the book is a line in Fijian that I don't want to stuff up because it's clearly something close to your heart. How do I say that?
It's pronounced Aulomani Iko, which means I love you in English. Yeah.
Yep. Why is that the last line of the book?
Well, it kind of relates to the previous page. It rhymes with the saying before. It's just something
it does too, doesn't it? Yeah, yes.
You know, they call
But it's a mum putting little Nick to bed. Why is that so important to you?
Oh, it's important. I think just telling someone how much you love them at the end of the day means a lot. And, you know, it's the book's a tribute to my mum as well, who's passed, you know, in 2015. So, yeah, it was a little bit of sentiment behind, you know, that as well, with that passing line being in my local tongue, my Fijian language. So, yeah, I thought I'd pay homage that way, I guess, and to end the book like that was something really, really special to me.
Do you think we're still a racist country?
I don't think so. I think there's pockets that, you know, still struggle to understand, and it's a bit of ignorance, but it's also education as well. And for me, I think, you know, if you can target at a young age kids to see everyone for, you know, and to celebrate their differences, and, you know, everyone is different, everyone's unique, and just to, you know, enjoy that, not to bully and put them down, is massive for me. And what I struggle with is, you know, sometimes the older generations, you're never going to change them as much as you want, as much as I love to. That's just, you know, 60, 70 years of something being ingrained in you. It's hard to change. So sometimes you just have to deal with it and accept it. It might not feel right, but I've come to terms with, you know, I've got some old school. I've got mates who their great grandparents are just, you know, I walk in, they still don't. They look at me like up and down. What are you doing in my house? But and I don't have
what
any.
What do you say?
I don't have any grudges with them. I just smile because I just know the background they've come from. And they're old school. And
can I ask, you're not a small person,
no.
So there's that when you come into a room.
Yeah.
But when you walk into someone's house.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see the gears wearing in their eyes. There's a big black guy in my house.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel?
At times it's uncomfortable early days, but now I take it all in my stride. It's funny at times. I tend to make a joke out of it, but yeah, it also changes once you've got that football label as well. It makes it a lot easier to break down those barriers, which is sad at times, but hopefully it's helping others understand, you know, people of colour or people of difference a bit better by myself being an example. But it's always interesting when you see, you know, that you are different. And, you know, majority of my life I have been the minority. You know, it was weird. When I go home, I feel normal. I just recently got back from Africa and I kind of blended in, whereas normally I'm the...
Did you blend in Africa? Because you might be the right colour.
I was a bit bigger. I got the dreadlocks probably stood out a little
bit.
And
also... You're still, I mean, you live here and you're from Fiji and, you know, culture and the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you dress, there's differences everywhere. Surely did they work out you weren't from there?
Sometimes.
They must have.
But then when you're walking around the villages and you're just wearing shorts, you know, no shirt, no shoes.
Sure.
And,
where did you go?
I was in south of Kenya, so I was over there and, it was just good to get around. But, and it's different because, you know, you see that landscape and in those villages, everyone looks exactly the same. So it's amazing when you come to a place like Australia, it's so diverse, it's so multicultural. And
what do you feel when you walk around and everyone looks like you? What does that feel like?
It feels weird. It feels strange because, you know, the majority of my life I've grown up being the odd one out. And, it's strange. You know, going home to Fiji and seeing the family and going back to my village and everyone looking the same as you was it's a weird feeling. Yeah, I haven't really thought about it too much until then, but yeah, it is definitely.
You gonna stay in Australia? Where are you gonna live? Like, I mean,
I'll
I know
here.
Not
yeah.
You're,
yeah.
You're in your prime. Yeah. Eagles have got five premierships to win. I know, but are you gonna stay here?
I will. Yeah, I think so. Like, I wouldn't. I love traveling the world. I tend to do it a fair bit, but man, we're in the greatest country of them all. I love Australia. We're very fortunate. Yeah, I guess everyone sees, especially Fiji, everyone sees the islands and, you know, how laid back and drinking coconuts and, you know, people just on Fiji time relax, but there's only so much of that you can do. I love Australia. I just love everything about it. You can get that here as well.
But you'll move to Melbourne because Melbourne's nice, right? Just know it.
Yes.
Yes. it's called Little Nick's Big Day by Nick Nadinui. If you talk up about an issue, promises is the final question, do you listen? Like, if you say something to the AFL or about racism in the AFL, or in fact about rule change, do you get listened to, do you think?
To a certain extent, yeah. It depends what ears it falls on, really. You kind of pinpoint and target your arguments at times. I learned that over the years. If you want something done, you go to certain people to whinge or complain about.
So better to go private sometimes?
It's better. Yeah, sometimes it is. Sometimes, you know, like going public isn't the best way to do it because sometimes people don't like being embarrassed. We're just, at the end of the day, we're humans. Like, as much as there's rules and there's ways to go about things, humans are affected in humanly ways. And so sometimes if you go to that person privately, they'll make something happen, and it doesn't have to be all show and tell.
Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.